Hello, and welcome to the Bleacher Creatures. Your hosts are Natalie Murra, Kaylee Cruz, Megan Barton, and me, Tandy Boudreau. Today, we are all going to be talking about coral reefs and coral bleaching.
Bleach what? People are really putting bleach in the oceans?
No, coral bleaching has no bleach involved. So how does coral bleaching work?
Coral reefs consist of two parts. There's an algae called zooxanthellae and the individual coral themselves, which are called polyps. And since polyps are pretty stationary, zooxanthellae are responsible for providing them with the nutrients they need to survive. And they also give them their distinct color. But like all living things, zooxanthellae have a restricted range of conditions that they can kind of survive under. And if these conditions are no longer met, for example, global warming is one of the reasons, the coral must expel the zooxanthellae, and that makes them colorless. And since polyps are incapable of getting nutrients on their own, they are put under a great deal of stress and starvation during the bleaching period.
This bleaching is caused by a large increase or decrease in temperature.
This is shown through impacts of global climate change on coral reefs, which are amplified by pulse heat stress events like El Niños. El Niños are a climate event that happens in the Pacific Ocean every year. Despite reports of extensive coral bleaching and up to 97% coral mortality induced by El Niño events, the degree of impact El Niños have on corals actually isn't much. Overall, the strongest sign for El Niño-associated coral bleaching was high long-term temperatures. Also, tests show that in the 2015 to 2016 El Niño event, it caused a global coral heat stress across all the world's oceans. With events like this expected to increase in frequency and severity throughout the century, it is super important that we gain a clear understanding of how these thermal stress anomalies impact different coral species in coral reef regions.
Wait, so is that why people always say that the coral reefs are stressed?
Yeah, stressing is a term people use for coral bleaching.
So how do coral reefs become stressed?
Warm water temperatures can affect coral bleaching significantly. When coral bleaches, it is actually not dead. The reef can survive bleaching if it is not too severe.
That's pretty radical. Do you have a specific example for this?
Well, a paper was released about a heat wave incident around Lisianski Island in 2014. This event was associated with an unusual basin scale warming of the North Pacific Ocean, with a peak intensity of around 20 degrees Celsius weeks of constant heat stress at the Lisianski Islands. Bleaching surveys and satellite data were used to evaluate bleaching patterns in 2014, determine the coral depth count for the event, and investigate long-term changes in heat stress in the area. Surveys conducted that in Lisianski, it had a bleaching rate of up to 91% in shallow habitats. The percent bleaching during the 2014 event was best explained by a combination of a long period of time where there was just constant heat stress that was measured by the coral reef's watch satellite during a degree heating week. And the average resistant coral has against bleaching depth and reaching.
But not all coral bleaching is an effect of water temperatures increasing.
So, how can coral bleaching happen from other conditions?
In January of 2010, the Florida Keys had a bleaching event caused by cold water temperatures. The water temperature dropped 12 degrees lower than the average water temperature of January in that area. Researchers say that cold stress events make coral more susceptible to death and destruction in the same way warmer temperatures impact coral reefs.
Wow, coral bleaching from cold water? Has this happened anywhere else?
On the western coast of Japan, they have had very strong cold fronts during the winter, which caused the temperature there to decrease. The cold water causes stress upon the coral reefs, which then causes the bleaching in the same way warm water can cause this.
Bleach, please. Do you know where any places where this has happened?
Yeah, one time I saw this obituary for the Great Barrier Reef. I did some more research on it, and I found that the Great Barrier Reef is on the northeastern coast of Australia, and it's known as the largest living thing on the whole Earth. I found that in 2016, there was a 500-mile area that was stressed in the center of the reef, which means the reef was experiencing coral bleaching. The reason for this coral bleaching was the increased temperature in water due to global warming.
How much of the Great Barrier Reef has this affected?
So, Terry Hughes, who is the director of the ARC Center of Excellence for Coral Reef Studies at James Cook University in Queensland, Australia, worked in 2016 to research information on coral bleaching. In order to find this information, Hughes conducted an experiment to find the effects of the coral bleaching on the reef. They found that 55% of the reefs were extremely bleached. That's just crazy, man.
But is there any hope for the Great Barrier Reef?
Yes, actually. Our guest Joshua Jackson will tell you about it.
This year is the warmest on record. And with ocean temperatures reaching dangerously high levels, a major coral bleaching event is predicted to hit the Great Barrier Reef. It's a race against time to document these reefs before climate change alters conditions here. The XL Catlin SeaView Survey uses cameras to take high numbers of 360-degree photographs of the bottom of the sea, effectively mapping the seafloor like Google Street View maps land. With this technology, scientists are able to establish a baseline for the coral reefs so that after a bleaching event, they can figure out how much was actually lost. It's part of the largest visual stocktake of corals on the planet ever done. And after today's dives, I'm actually feeling hopeful. The reefs here are thriving. But then I learned my optimism may be misplaced. Ove has footage from other reefs around the world, and he says what's happening there will eventually happen here too.
Now, if this is largely a healthy reef.
Right.
Now, if you look at a reef that's under stress, like this one here.
And there's bleaching all over the place. Right, that's what all these white patches are.
That's right, looks like it's snowed underwater.
Right.
So some of that might recover if it gets cooler sooner. But a lot of that will die either directly or it'll die of starvation or disease. So if you look at the healthy reef on the left-hand side,
right,
with reefs that have now started to bleach, like the one on the right.
And we're talking, and wow, that's only a couple of months of it being under that stress. It's surprising to see how quickly it happens. That is shocking.
The first time people saw, you know, a mass bleaching event was in the early 1980s, and never before then. But in 1998, we had the first global event. But then you go to 2010 and happens again, 2015, 2016, and it's happening again. And all that while, it appears that the interval between these events is shortening and their intensity is increasing. We're now in the third global mass bleaching event. This year we had very warm conditions coming into the summer, plus a strong El Niño, and that then pushed sea temperatures, you know, right to the limit over most of the reef. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joshua, for enlightening me on the Great Barrier Reef. I'll see you next time. So, are people trying to do anything about coral bleaching?
Yes, some scientists at the University of Melbourne and Australian Institute of Marine Science have developed a sunshield. It is made from an ultra-thin biodegradable film that is 50,000 times thinner than a human hair and contains calcium carbonate, which is the same ingredient corals use to make their hard skeletons. It would be placed on the top of the water above the corals to provide a barrier against the sun. The shield can provide up to 30% of sunlight reduction without causing any harm to corals. The project is funded by Tiffany & Co.
Wow, that's a good idea. Are there any other ways we can prevent coral bleaching?
You can do little things such as wash your car on the grass rather than the driveway to prevent runoff, use environmentally friendly cleaners and fertilizers, minimize water runoff by planting trees and other plants around your home, and advocate for the protection of our natural wonderlands on social networks to get others to join your support. Also, when enjoying coral reefs, do not touch, take, or endanger the marine life. One small touch can kill these delicate organisms.
All right, everyone, that's all we have on bleacher creatures. Stay tuned for next week on how to stop.
What?